Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Devo.
Yep. Welcome to it. Shock Therapy Live. I am your host, Steve-O. My co-host joining me today, actually.
It's me.
It's Mitch.
It's Mitch. Not Pastor Nate.
Pastor Nate, actually, pray for that dude.
Out of town.
Out of town, that's right. And so while he is out, we thought, let's get the female perspective. It's always good we can do that. We've had Lenya guest with us before.
Yes,
we've had
Janae
Heitzig guest with us before.
It's always good to get
now
the female
perspective. Now we have Michelle Bransford.
That's me. Saying my real name.
I am, because, you know, it's Shock Therapy Live, so it's not Steve-O and Mitch.
Steve-O and Michelle.
Or it could be Steven and Michelle.
Steven and Michelle.
Steven and Michelle for Shock Therapy Live. You can get your questions in now, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Or if you'd like to keep it anonymous, you can email us. We promise we will not say your name on the air if it's something deeply personal. But you can email us, studio@mystaticradio.com. That's studio@mystaticradio.com. Or if you feel so bold, call us up. That's always the best way, because then we can interact. We can talk a little bit deeper about what's going on. But yeah, it's just one of those, hey, we're here to help. And, you know, it's always good to get insight. Maybe you have a question. Maybe you're dealing with something. Maybe you read something in Scripture and you're just like, I don't know how to reconcile this. I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know what to do. Give us a call. The phone lines are open, 505-338-3700 or 338-3701. We got a few email questions already to get to. And, you know, there's a couple things I wanted to talk about this morning. It's amazing how God works, because there was a couple topics that we didn't have a chance to really touch on this morning. So we're probably going to talk a little bit about a couple things in the news right now.
Mm-hmm.
One having to do with abortion. One actually having to do with torture, which is going to be interesting.
Yes.
So we'll get to that. But we got an anonymous email question that had to do with depression.
Yes. Question is depression, feeling alone, and feeling ignored. She's a teenager.
Yeah.
And
wants to know what to do.
What to do in those situations.
Depression. As somebody who, I got to be honest, in high school, I actually took Wellbutrin.
Okay.
Which was like an antidepressant type thing. I come from a history, a family history of depression.
Mm-hmm.
Family members who have, you know, either have or still taking antidepressants or mm-hmm. things like that. And so I was always nervous about being depressed, which gave me anxiety, which made me feel more depressed because I was constantly dwelling on it.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big thing. When it comes to depression, when it comes to feeling alone, when it comes to feeling ignored, all of these things that you are feeling, it's a lot of it has to do with the fact that you are feeling it, the fact that you are dwelling on it,
mm-hmm.
the fact that that is your focus, that is your main focus. It's the idea of, man, when you go before the Lord, when you give your life to Christ, you are free, you are forgiven. All of your sins, white as snow.
Washed away.
Washed away completely. And yet we battle, one thing that I've always battled was that guilt.
Mm-hmm.
But why? Because it just doesn't seem fair. This just seems too easy. What else can I do to atone for this? And it was something that ate me up for a very long time. And it's not something that just goes away if you're constantly dwelling on it. So for me, I had to actually get away from that. I stopped taking those medications. When I found Christ, that was it. I said, all right, I'm going to let him inundate me, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to go here. I'm going to do this. I'm going to not dwell on these things, because if you're focused so much on your shortcomings, if you're focused so much on your failings, if you're focused so much on the times that you have, well, just flat failed or fallen short, or if you're focused on feeling alone, if you're focused on feeling ignored, well, that's just another stupid emotion.
Right.
Just like happiness or sadness or any other emotion that you have, they're just emotions, and they ebb and they flow and they fade. And you have to come to that true joy mm-hmm. in Jesus Christ. You can't be dependent even upon happiness or the warm butterflies or the fuzzy feelings or when you pray and you just feel God.
I think something that we tend to get confused is what emotions are. Joy being an emotion? No, that's not an emotion. That is something that we get right. from knowing that Christ is our Lord and Savior, and what we get from God. While feelings are emotions, are happiness, sadness, depression, being lonely.
Yeah.
Those are emotions, while joy is not something that we categorize as an emotion, but that's something that we can always rely upon, knowing that God's going to give that to us freely.
You know, the back of my iPad is a scripture I have etched into it, and it's one that I try and cling to. And for me, this is one that I just adhere to when it comes to those times of feeling alone, feeling depressed, feeling ignored, feeling like I'm not good enough, feeling like a failure. Yes, I feel those things. There are mm-hmm. those times. Philippians 4, verse 4 says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." Paul has to write it down twice. He tells us twice, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Hey, I'll say it again. Listen to me. Speaking clearly. Rejoice. We have to rejoice in the Lord. We mm-hmm. have to turn our thoughts away from ourselves, from these feelings of depression, from these feelings of loneliness. And man, I love what it says. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I'm telling you, you can't be anxious about these things. I know, as somebody who has gone through this, who has struggled through depression, the feelings of anxiety, you're so focused on this. Mm-hmm. But if I can just beat it, if I can just get, okay, and then you got, okay, so I'm going to focus on rejoicing. Okay, focusing on, but if you're focusing on trying to do something,
then you're still focused on that.
You're still focused on you. You have to completely take the attention off of yourself. And focus on, well, as it says in verse 8, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Maybe you need to get a prayer journal.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you need to get something where you have reminders. You write them down. I have a...
Reminders.
Yeah, I have a log. I have this prayer journal where... Man, I write down my prayer requests, and then you know what you can do is you write them down, and maybe it's not answered that day or that week or that month, but when they are answered, you can come back and you write the date in and you say, "God answered this prayer." And these are those constant reminders. These are the things that are worthy of praise. Jesus himself, worthy of praise. These are the things that we dwell on, we think about, we fill our minds with, because if we're not focused on ourselves, if we're focused on Christ and what he has done, mm-hmm. what he has accomplished, what he has completed, if we take heart, because he has overcome all of these things, these depressions, these anxieties. If we take heart in him, man, let him make that straight for you.
And coming back full circle, depression, feeling alone, and feeling ignored. If you going to prayer, the first thing you do, it's really gonna help. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know."
Yeah, we have to take his promises seriously. We have to believe his word, because if we can trust in, cling to, rely on his word to be true, then we know we're never alone. You'll feel alone.
Yeah,
you can feel
ignored. It's not a cure-all. There's gonna be times when you feel alone, you feel depressed, but knowing that God is with you at all times,
trusting in that, trusting mm-hmm. that he has not left you, he will never leave you, he will never forsake you. Romans 8 talks about his love and how nothing in all of creation can separate you from that love. Nothing in all of creation, including yourself, including your feelings, including your emotions, nothing will separate you from that love of Christ Jesus. You have to dwell in him. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. Or, of course, if you'd like to keep it anonymous, keep it anonymous by Facebooking us.
studio@mystaticradio.com.
Shock Therapy Live.
Hi, it's an unbeliever.
Hey!
I actually have a question, but I also wanted to give a little input on the depression thing, because I do struggle with depression as it is, and I am on medication, but mine's a chemical imbalance.
Okay.
And the one thing that I found for feeling alone is I have two companion cats. And hopefully I'll be able to add, like, God and Jesus and that feeling of, like, I've always got somebody there for me. But they're always there for me. And that's also something that, like, I'm a really big believer on is not only rescuing them from the pound, but also having them there for you because I love my cats. And wow. They're my baby, so they help with that.
You know, and I would say, being that we are created in the image of God, he has given us this capacity for creativity, and getting outside of yourself and like actually going out and doing things for others can in turn help you with something like that, whether it's volunteering at the rescue mission. I've never thought of actually volunteering and helping out cats before. That's a new one to me.
Well, they're actually mine. Like, I adopted one of them from the pound, and then my sister-in-law, her friend from work, they came home to their stray cat that they had picked up, and she had kittens, so
wow.
I took one of them.
It totally works out because today's actually Love Your Pet Day. It's National Love Your Pet Day, so there you go.
I love my pet, though. So there's another thing, because I was actually referred to having a companion pet by my therapist. So.
Yeah, I know there are colleges, actually, when it comes to, like, finals and it comes to things like they actually have, like,
a room of
animal
puppies.
Rooms of puppies where you can go to de-stress.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily saying the puppy's going to solve all the problems when it comes to something like depression because, you know.
No.
So
they
cats aren't
easy. Yeah, they are they are calming, they're soothing, they can be there for you. But
they should never be your functional savior though.
Right.
Because I think the problem is what you pour into no matter what, whether it's a cat, a friend, or anything else that you place above Christ can be very dangerous because that person, that animal can become your functioning savior.
And that goes along with the verse I'm going to fail immediately. worshiping the creation rather than the creator.
Yeah.
So
what's up?
Well, I'm kind of in a dilemma because last night I was trying to go to bed and my mom Facebooked me and she's like, I'm flying out to Indiana with your grandma tomorrow and I'm going to be back on Friday.
Okay.
Good night. I love you. Like, okay. I love you too, but why? And she tells me, oh, I thought you knew. Betty died. And Betty's I guess you would consider her my grandma's stepmom.
Okay.
And she's like, I emailed you. My mom lives 10 minutes away from me.
Right.
She has my phone number. I usually go over there on Sunday nights for a Sunday night dinner, the family thing. And I'm kind of struggling with the fact that she's been emailing me these things.
Okay.
Instead of telling me these things. And I told her, I don't check my email regularly.
Uh-huh.
Because the email that she has is kind of my junk email. It's for when I purchase stuff online. They send me my receipt to that email, and then I get all the offers that come with purchasing crap online.
Right, of course.
And I don't know how to tell her for, like, the umpteenth time that if you're going to tell me something important, you need to call me without being mean. Because... you know.
Is it ironical that you're struggling with communicating with your mom and so you're calling us instead of just talking to her?
Well, I don't know how
is that ironical?
It is ironical.
I just don't know how to approach it because
no, it's true. And you've talked to your mom in the past, you said, right?
Yeah.
You know, I would honestly just do what you're saying. It seems like your mom is super loving. I obviously don't know her, but from interactions you guys have had on our Facebook page, she seems like a very understanding, very caring mother who loves you dearly. And so when those breakdowns in communication happen, if this is something that you're, you know, feeling bummed out about, the best thing that you can do is just go to your mom in love and say, Mom, hey, this kind of bummed me out, and here's why. I maybe mention the whole email thing. That's kind of my junk email. Maybe give her a better email address, you know, one that you actually check regularly, because my mom, she calls when she can. She's, you know, lives in Texas, and so I don't get to see her regularly, and she'll call, but she'll actually do the same thing. She's more of an emailer because she's just sitting around like, and because I work, I don't have time to just spend 12 hours on the phone like I, you know, used to. Never. And so my mom does something very similar, but you just got to say, hey, things like this, it would have been great for a phone call. Were you close to this person? Is this something that is upsetting you, or is it just a matter of, well, it just bugs me that she emails me?
It's a matter that bugs me because, my great aunt I'm actually close to, and she emailed me that she was in the hospital, and everybody else knew about it but me, because I don't check my emails. And so that really upset me.
Right.
It's really difficult to go to her because she is an email-based person.
Right.
She emails everybody everything, and everybody checks it apparently.
Right.
Except for me, and she knows that.
Well, you guys live close, obviously, it sounds like, because you just said that, you know, you go there on Sunday nights. You see her regularly. I feel like it's a situation where you just need to approach your mom and say, hey, mom.
Has this just been recently happening, or has it been ongoing?
It's been ongoing for years.
Oh, okay.
And it's not just, I mean, family pets die, and she emails me.
Right.
Like, they're going out of town. She emails. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I just saw you yesterday and you didn't tell me. You waited until they emailed me.
So she so saw you and didn't tell you and just almost corresponds through email?
Yeah.
See, so I would talk to her, but also at the same time, maybe that's how your mom communicates.
Yeah,
it sounds like she does that with everyone else, and you want that personal communication, that personal conversation because it's your mother and you feel you deserve that. But at the same time, if that's the way your mom is with everyone and it's not just a, oh, well, I just don't want to talk to her, I'm just going to email her thing, you can't necessarily fault and or be that frustrated with her if that's how she is with everybody. You know what I mean? Maybe that's one of your mom's little quirks. Maybe she's not a communicator. Maybe she doesn't enjoy those conversations. Maybe they make her uncomfortable. Maybe she feels more comfortable emailing stuff like that. So maybe by providing her with an email address that you will check regularly, you know, everybody else knew because they checked their email. Well, you don't check that email. Give her another email address you do check and still talk to her and say, hey, this upset me.
Yeah.
One, because I didn't know and everybody else knew. And it would have been great to get that communication from my mom, because
maybe
man,
you should
posted,
email her
yeah,
that you don't like
it. From the email address you want her to email from. You know, when you posted on Facebook a few weeks back for Shock Therapy Live about your faith and struggling and trying to find a place and trying to be able to talk to your mom about the fact that, you know, you're searching and, you know, your brother's a Mormon and you don't, you know, you don't fall in line anywhere really, you know, just kind of searching for God. Your mom responded pretty immediately on Facebook, and it was beautiful to see you guys communicating back and forth, even though it was publicly on our Facebook page. It was really sweet that she responded. And so obviously your mother cares. Mm-hmm. She took the time immediately to respond. So it doesn't seem like she's doing it out of spite. She's not doing it because she doesn't care about you, and she's not doing it because she doesn't, you know, want you to know these things. It seems like that's the way she communicates, because you guys hadn't talked about your faith, and yet instantaneously on Facebook, she was there for you. And she said, honey, I'm always going to be here for you. You're my daughter. I love you. And so maybe you communicate that back in the way that you communicate face to face and, see where it goes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, I was going to go to the service with Nate. Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Is he going
to
be there?
Nate's actually, there's a guest speaker tomorrow night,
is
right?
I
believe that there's a guest speaker tomorrow night. But
RenovateABQ.org.
Yeah, RenovateABQ.org is where you can find it.
Okay.
So.
And it should have guest speaker information right
there.
Yeah,
absolutely. So,
okay.
There you go.
I'd encourage you to attend even if he's not there.
Our dear friend in Houston says definitely get the lines of communication corrected between you and your mom, but also, set up an email forward from her mom's and aunt's email address, like whoever it's from, whoever's doing the regular email communication, so that, you know, there's like a communication safety net, basically. That way you're still in the know in case she does stick to that email. Because, yeah, a lot of my family is email correspondence.
Yeah.
So,
and I don't know if it's the same with you, but when my mom or anybody in my family gets in the habit of something, it's really hard for them to break that habit.
Yeah,
like
my
mom texts me, she doesn't usually call.
Yeah.
So even if it's like the most tragic information, it's a text.
Yeah.
And that's just how she's used to communicating.
Yeah. So there it is. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. The phone number is 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. If you'd like to keep it anonymous, you can send us an email to studio@mystaticradio.com. That's studio@mystaticradio.com. Or, of course, Facebook works as well. Facebook.com/mystaticradio. We got to take our first break. Coming back, we got a couple more anonymous emails to get to, and we will do that right around the corner.
Yes.
I was going to say Steve-O and Mitch, but it's Shock Therapy Live, so we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Pastor Dave with Agents for Christ, and you're listening to Evangelism Minute. If you share the gospel on a regular basis, there are going to be people who disagree with you. Some may even get angry and want to argue with you. Now, I'm always up for a good discussion. However, when someone becomes loud and hostile, I just need to walk away. 2 Timothy 2:24 says, "A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be kind to everyone, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people." Now, this isn't always easy, but remember, James 1:20 says, "The wrath of man will not produce the righteousness of God." And keep in mind that those who are hostile to God's word are blind to the truth, and only the Holy Spirit can open their eyes. Someone in the church might have possibly hurt them. Show them grace and pray that God will soften their heart and even set them free. For more evangelism resources, go to gottracts.com. That's gottracts.com. And remember, be bold, share your faith.
This is The Wire.
Hey, so this is how this works. You have a free event going on, and it goes right here in this spot.
Scottish, this is The Wire. This is The Wire. This is The Wire, my children. Submit your event details at mystaticradio.com. Submit your event details at mystaticradio.com.
Why? Why do I always have to be ridiculous?
Do you have a free event going on? Submit your event details for The Wire at mystaticradio.com.
Connect to a hotspot with Skip Heitzig.
The posture until something is done with the love that he gave in Christ is one of wrath. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness, all ungodliness. People certainly don't like this message. Have you heard this? Well, the God of the Old Testament is a God of judgment and wrath. The God of the New Testament is a God of love. There's two different gods. You're wrong. This is the New Testament, last time I checked. And it says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. That's God's attitude towards sin, period. It's consistent in the Old Testament, in between the Testaments, in the New Testament, and in 2008 in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Same. His attitude on sin has never changed.
Call 1-800-922-1888 for a free teaching by Skip Heitzig, or hear more when you visit skipheitzig.com/hotspots.
Shock Therapy Live. Maybe this time the treatment will take. Better yet, chime in now on Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or call 505-338-3700. We find it best to get it off your chest. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Welcome back.
That's right. It's 9:27 right now. 9:29. Am I supposed to say the time?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
You okay?
Yeah. I don't know how this works. I'm like, oh, junk, this is going to be re-aired on Sunday.
Shock Therapy Live. Normally, Pastor Nate Heitzig would be joining me. He is away. So, Michelle, my co-host.
Steven, my
yes,
co-host.
That's right. Hanging out with you this morning, getting a female perspective. And actually, on Facebook, we got a female question. If you would like to send in your questions, facebook.com/mystaticradio. You can give us a call. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. Or send us your anonymous email, studio@mystaticradio.com. But Katrina!
Yes, she has a good question.
Listener. Great question.
I have a friend who recently joined an online dating site. She met a man who says his job is very demanding and he doesn't have time to date her, but asked her to just be friends with benefits. Exactly. She agreed.
What?
Yeah, she agreed. I told her she deserved better than that and that he was only using her. She said she was happy with that and that he was honest about it and that he can, and she continues to see him. What advice should I give her? Oh.
That's all you. It says, hey, Michelle.
I know. It
that's
does
a
say
girl
that
question.
I left that part out.
Have fun with that.
Well, you're going to, you have some advice too. Like,
that's all you, bro.
Okay. Well,
first, there are more questions to be
asked.
Yeah,
well, there's an immediate question with your question, Katrina.
Is your friend a Christian? Is she a believer?
Right.
Does she hold to the standards that we do? Like, we talked to Lisa Anderson not too long ago.
Yeah,
on
from
air,
Boundless.
From Boundless, about online dating.
Mm-hmm.
It was during the whole TiVo.
Should Christian?
Manti Te'o.
Manti Te'o, yes.
Not
Tebow.
Tebow. No, the Tebow.
Starting rumors.
He does not do online dating, but Manti Te'o apparently did.
Yeah, that's right. And so we talked to Lisa from The Boundless Show, which we air during Static U, 9 p.m. Sunday night. And we talked to her about online dating, whether or not Christians should even be involved in online dating. She said yes, actually.
And she's been a part of it.
She's been a part of it as well.
But the whole purpose of dating in any way is...
Biblically
is to date with the purpose, with the intent of marriage.
Yeah, date with purpose, not just to flippantly date. And so that I think the first question immediately is, well, is she even a believer? Because if she doesn't adhere to that, then nothing you say really holds.
She doesn't have
really
the standards. She doesn't care.
That's
not. It's if she's not looking for marriage and to hold to a biblical standard of what God has for her and her maybe future husband, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, friends with benefits, unfortunately, has become so socially acceptable, even among Christians, it's almost dumbfounding. But I guess not, because we are human, we are fallen,
yes.
We are sinful, our heart is deceitful. And so we look at this, and yeah, the first question is, well, is she a believer? But if she is a believer, man... I would speak into that. Dating with purpose. What is the purpose behind even dating? Because if it's not with the intent of finding that godly man to lead you, to have a relationship that will draw you closer to Jesus Christ, then it's all for naught anyways, because that is the purpose. That is it. You know, when you get married, the two become one flesh. My wife is, man, she's my helper. She challenges me. She draws me closer to a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what it should be about. That's what we should be looking for in that very thing. Mm-hmm. We just talked to Gary Thomas over on our sister station, 107.1 FM, about marriage, being that last week was National Marriage Week. And he wrote a book, actually, about not the who you should be looking for, but why should I be looking? I'm trying to remember the name of the book, but that's what it was all about, this idea of dating with a purpose to draw into a right relationship, a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, because that is what it is all about.
The picture.
Yeah, flat out,
marriage.
If she's a believer, I would have to approach it that way.
Yeah.
Now, you being a female, let's take you back a few years before
Done.
You were married.
Okay. Before I was married or before I was a Christian?
Before you were married, because as a believer, did you understand, like, when you first started dating, why were you dating?
When I first started dating, I wasn't a Christian.
Okay.
So I was dating just to date.
To date.
It wasn't anything. It was
status, maybe?
Well, yeah, and I had a boyfriend, and yay! So whatever.
Right.
Everybody in high school wants a boyfriend or a girlfriend.
Yeah, but this girl doesn't have a boyfriend. She's got a friend with benefits.
And so I can't imagine, because there's any sort of benefit that comes along, you get emotionally attached. There's no way you can do this without wanting more, without becoming at least emotionally attached, and you never have to admit it, but it's there.
Right.
And so when this dude leaves her life, she's going to be heartbroken, and she's not even going to realize that she was doing that to herself.
Right. Yeah, I would just speak into that. What is her motive behind dating to begin with? Why did she get involved in this? Why was she excited about friends with benefits? What is she looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Because that, it seems like will only end in tragedy.
And honestly, like, even if it's just friends with benefits, like, hey, I go hang out with him on Thursday nights. Eventually, when those Thursday nights aren't happening with him anymore, she's gonna wonder why. What did she do wrong? What's going on? And that's going to hurt her. It's all around a terrible situation.
Bad scene. 505-338-3700. Shock Therapy Live.
Hi, I just want to kind of share my testimony about that dating and a point of view about somebody who did wait to get married to give themselves.
Okay.
So actually, I would say one of the most instrumental things in my life, about, you know, dating was basically, my father, my not heavenly father, but my earthly father was so loving and appreciative of me for who I am. And, he was always a reason for me to kind of respect myself when I didn't want to try and find beauty in me. And I also saw that as a resounding theme in the Bible, you know, that we need to see ourselves as precious. And so my husband now, my whole theme when he started being interested in me and overall was, first of all, I just told God, okay, God, I'm going to be the best me I can be, the best Christian I can be. And then, you know, and that's what I'm going to use this time, my youth, you know, for. Yeah. So that when you bring that guy along, that I will be ready, and that we, our likelihood of sticking together in this world will be that much stronger.
Right on.
And that's what God did. I told my husband, you know, right away, I was like, you're going to have to love me a lot, you know, if you eventually want to marry me, because my dad loved me with all his heart. And a lot of people don't believe that your husband can love you with the same emotion that a parent can. But he loves me in a, I know they're different, but they've become more and more close as we go along, that he is my family.
Right.
You know, he has my back, and I didn't change, and I wasn't someone to wear a lot of makeup. I'm not very stylish. I wasn't blessed with that. And I knew that if I changed, that one day when I want to be me again, that's kind of like deceiving him, because one day I stopped wearing makeup. One day I stopped being the woman he married. So I tried to stick with, I'm going to be me.
Right on.
And somebody needs to fall in love with me, because I don't want to change 20 years later. So I just wanted to share that.
Right on.
Be who you are and believe that God will bring that into your life. Be open to what the word says.
Right.
And every woman's different, but I see an overall theme of wanting to be pursued, wanting to be wanted.
Right.
And don't, no matter who you are, you know, no matter, like, I never really had a boyfriend, like a solid one or anything like that, and nobody was ever pursuing me. So it was hard for me to believe one day somebody's going to like me and really pursue me.
Right.
But they did, and don't give up that hope, because that tames a wild heart, you know, when, when somebody kneels down on your level and looks you in the eye and sees eye-to-eye level with you. And I really hope that, you know, that's going to carry us through that. And our counselor, we have a marriage counselor named Jesus.
Right on. So, I like that. The great counselor. There you go. Thank you so much for the testimony.
It's amazing.
505-338-3700, the phone number. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I'm in nursing school, and ironically, we were studying STDs.
Well, all right.
There you go.
And friends with benefits. I mean, somebody's benefiting at the moment, but it only lasts for, I mean, the benefit is only for a season, and, you know, later on, the benefit goes away.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that your payment could be, like, you know, the guy's going to know right away, but, like, females, it goes undetected for the 5 or 7, 10 years, and you're going to end up with, like, cervical cancer, infertility, all kinds of stuff, and, like, they don't go to the doctor because they don't know. Anyway, that's, like, a bad thing.
Yes, I agree.
So, FYI. And then I have a friend also that I was in nursing school with who is saving herself, who is, like, very much into, she's very raised in the church. Her sister is friends with benefits, and she doesn't get it, and she's, like, she's 22, and nobody understands why she is still a virgin. Hats off to her. I am so proud of her. And she doesn't do study groups on, you know, Bible study night, and I was so proud of her. And that people didn't get it. You know, I wasn't a Christian. I dated to have a boyfriend, that whole thing, before I got, you know, dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you've been out there and done that, you can rededicate your life and, you know, start from wherever you are and move forward and, you know, be purified and go forward. I mean, stop. You don't have to look backward and say, okay, well, I'm tainted, so I can never do that, so I'm just going to keep doing it.
Right.
And, you know, and just stay in the sin because, you know, I'm already, you know, and that's how I felt. I felt defiled and, like, just, you know, I was so, you know, just dirty.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then so you can move forward. I mean, you don't have to stay in that sin just because you've, lost that. I mean, that's like the greatest gift you can give your husband on your wedding night, and that's how God intended it. And yeah. I agree with you.
Right on. Thank you so much for the
call.
Thank
you.
That's good.
Yes.
505-338-3700. Phone lines are jammed, so let's keep it going. Shock Therapy Live.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I've been trying to, thinking about calling for a long time, and it sounds like you guys are talking about something that might relate to what I was thinking about.
Okay.
I have a teenage son, and we've been going through a lot of, we've been through a lot of different changes. And he used to, you know, he used to go to church with me, and he used to just really be in love with God. And lately it's been different, partly because his dad is not in his life, and he seems to be dealing with a lot of anger over that. And,
right.
And I know that you guys have talked about some things like this, but in my situation, it's, you know, we're really close, but it seems like I'm the person who he takes his anger out on the most.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's hard for me to deal with.
Right.
I don't know how to approach him, and I know he's getting into things that he shouldn't be getting into.
You are my mom 15 years ago on the phone. You are, because my dad died when I was 6 years old. I'm the oldest. Uh-huh. And my teenage years, I became very rebellious. I had very serious anger issues that I did not understand, that 90% stemmed from not having a father growing up, not having that father figure to smack me when I screwed up. Now, obviously, as the parent in the house, that makes you the disciplinarian. How old is your son?
He's in his late teens.
Late teens. Okay. Because here's the thing. You said used to go to church. And I'll tell you what. The one thing my mom never did was give up. She would fight and she would battle. And here's the thing. As long as he is under your roof, my mom adhered to it. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the best things that she ever did. She never gave up. And she always adhered to the book of Joshua that says, as for me and my house, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. And as long as he is under your roof, that's what he will do. Because
he does.
Okay.
He does, like, you know, you have the midweek service, and sometimes he doesn't go there.
Yeah.
He'll miss a couple of Sundays, but most of the time he'll go. Like, one day he'll be really angry, and he'll tell me, you know, Mom, I don't believe in God, and why am I going through all of this? And I know my son is really lonely.
Yep.
You know, because his dad is around there, but his dad is not the greatest person.
Right.
And, you know, I would never tell him that, but, you know, that's how I feel. But it's hard to swallow when they tell you things like that. And I just wonder, you know, I want the perspective of my son. What does he think? How does he feel?
He's confused. I was very confused. I didn't understand a lot of things. I blamed God for a lot of things as well. Like I said, my father died when I was 6 years old. And so I always had that entitled perspective of, you don't understand. Nobody gets me. I'm the only one dealing with this, thus bringing about isolation, depression, things like that, because I believed no one struggled with what I struggled with. No one dealt with what I dealt with. And it was a slap in the face when I read 1 Corinthians 10:13 that says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man, and God is faithful. And it talks about the idea that there's nothing new to God. And for some stupid reason, I didn't grasp that, because I believed that I was the only one who lost their dad when I was young. I was the only one who had a mom. My mom was so loving to a fault, I always say, because she almost let me get away with whatever I wanted, because she hurt for me, because my dad wasn't there. And so one thing I would tell you is, don't be that mom that loves him so much that you just allow him to fall into sin. Because love still shows itself in those tough moments by not allowing your son to do those things, by guiding your son. Now, there's a way to speak the truth in love and do it in a way that is loving. However, don't allow him to fall to the wayside. Don't allow him to get caught up in those things. Don't allow him to feel those moments where he believes he's all alone and you just don't understand. You can still, man, protect his heart and his mind. And as a mother, I'll tell you what, my mother is one of the greatest women in the entire universe because she never gave up on me. She continued to try and show me that love and that affection and tried to continue to grow me and build me up, because for me, it was an issue of abandonment. It was an issue of feeling isolated. I had no self-esteem. Like I said, my father died when I was really young, and I lacked a lot of these manly, quote-unquote, qualities because I didn't have that father figure to really guide me and instruct me. And I had a mother who loved me so much that as the, quote-unquote, disciplinarian in the house, I just did not get disciplined. She didn't spank me. She didn't, you know, she tried at times, but it always failed because I was angry and bigger. And so what is the situation like now? Is his father in town, at home? I mean, is this a situation where he rarely sees him?
He rarely sees him.
Okay.
Like, very rarely.
So you guys obviously are not married.
No.
Okay.
There's a lot of violence in our history, and I think that has a lot to do with it.
Single mom or stepdad?
Single mom.
Single mom. Okay. Yeah. So what is the home like? What are you, you know, as far as disciplinarian goes, as far as all of these things, you know, what is your relationship with your son like?
Well, I was always a disciplinarian.
Okay.
And it kind of changed to when he got, I like to say this, taller than me.
Right.
And then he realized he was stronger than me.
Right.
And then he realized he could walk out and not listen to me.
Right.
I think that changed. You know, I was always a disciplinarian, but when he knew that he could do those things and just walk out of me if he wanted to.
Yeah.
And I think that really is a turning point for me. It's like, okay, what do you do when teenagers start to understand that, hey, they don't have to stand right here and listen to you. They can just walk out.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest part for me is like, you know, if he doesn't want to listen to something, he'll walk out.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest part right there is, you know, what if he just walks out and doesn't come back?
Yeah, and that's...
And I don't know where he is. And that scares me.
And that's that comes from a lack of respect. Mm-hmm. That comes from a lack of understanding your authority as a mother, because that was me as well. I would get frustrated and my mom would say, you're grounded. And I'm like, yeah, really? Cool, sweet. Try and keep me in this room.
Exactly.
And I would rebel against, and I would leave, and my mom would cry, and she would pray, and pray,
right.
And pray.
And so that's one thing that I've, from all the stories I've heard about you and your mom and the things that she had to go through, it sounds like she had to be strong in those moments.
She had to be strong, and sadly, in my life, in my situation, my mom had to let me go.
Right.
Because I wasn't growing. I wasn't drawing closer to Christ. I was more and more rebellious. I didn't have that father figure. I didn't have anything. And when I turned 18, my mom said, cool, I love you so much. I cannot see you go down this path any longer. You gotta go. And I had to leave. And to this day, she always talks about it being one of the most difficult things for her to do. But I left. I got my own apartment, and I wish I could say it taught me a lesson immediately, and I grew, and I changed, and I gave my life to Christ, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I met a group of dudes who loved the Lord, who invited me to church, and I, you know, I was been there, done that, no thanks, but God kept tugging at my heart. My mom never gave up praying for me, but I'll tell you what, there was a time that she had to let me go, because your son, as much as he's your son and you love him, he's God's child, and God loves him so much more. And God knows, and God wants the best for him.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, God gave us this ridiculous thing called free will. And sometimes we walk away from that, and it destroys me. And it's really, I'm not going to lie, it's really difficult to talk about right now, because I think of what I put my mother through, and I fall apart. Because
I know. I feel like that right now, and it sounds like I have to, you know, dig deep, and I know that's what I'm preparing myself for.
Does he have
let him go, but you know what I mean? It's a possibility, but, you know, I'm still, praying for things to change.
Does he have a male figure in his life? Is there a male role model, be it a pastor, a counselor, a teacher?
He had many.
Okay.
The thing about it is, you know, he wants one person.
Right.
Right.
That one person is not going to be there.
And that was it for me. I had youth pastors. I had people who tried. And sadly, even my youth pastor had to let me go. I was actually, quote unquote, excommunicated. I was kicked out of the church because I was living sinfully in high school. And they said, sorry, man, you got to go. You are unrepentant. Man, there were many factors in me walking away. But I'll tell you what, my father-in-law, all these years later, is the best father figure I could have ever asked for in an earthly sense. And I'll tell you one other thing that is going to be very difficult, but one thing that maybe could help enlighten a situation is, as a man growing up without a father, I never understood God in a sense of being my heavenly father, because you hear it day in and day out that he's your heavenly father. You just go to him. But I didn't have a right relationship or a right understanding of what it meant to have a father. And because of that, that's when I started questioning God, because I didn't understand who God was. I did not have a proper perspective. I didn't have a right perspective on who God was. And so maybe it's a few things. Maybe it's, he needs to get that proper understanding. He needs to experience God. He needs to see him, because I grew up on my mom's faith. I did not grow up on my own. And it wasn't until I was faced with that and realized I did not have a personal relationship. I had my mom's relationship. I had to find my own. And it was very difficult. But don't ever give up. Don't ever stop loving. Don't ever stop bringing him with you. Don't ever stop finding biblical truth to guide him in, because I promise you, my mom, I still call her. I still go to her. Even now, actually, just this morning, I just texted her because I wanted some help here. And my mom is the greatest help. In fact, I kind of want to call her up and talk to her here in the next minute. But that would be my encouragement. I'm sure my mom has things to say as well. But
awesome.
Thank you so much for calling
in. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you so much.
You're clued into Shock Therapy Live. We got a couple more minutes left, and I got to be honest, I think taking it back to that source wouldn't be a bad idea. So I think I'm going to make this phone call, actually.
Do it. Should I talk over the dial tone? Just because all these people can't figure out what
that'd
it
be
is.
Quite impressive if you could figure that out.
I would be impressed as well.
Hello.
Good morning, beautiful lady.
Good morning, my son.
Hey, you are on the air. And of course, Mitch, my co-host with me.
Hello.
We're doing our call-in show, Shock Therapy Live, and we had a mother call in who has a teenage son, single mom, teenage son, very rebellious. I don't know if you've heard this one before, but he's grown taller than her. She tries to ground him. He says, "You can't keep me here." He leaves. I mean, this might sound a little familiar. Very rebellious. She hasn't given up prayer, but I wanted to call you to see if you could offer some insight, some encouragement, because for as much as I do know about me being just a terrible, awful teenager, I don't fully know what you went through, you know, and I don't understand. I don't fully understand. So as a mother who has gone through this and could speak maybe some encouragement or some wisdom into this caller who called in, I thought I would give you the floor for the next minute or so, if you would like to just share what it was, how you got through it. You know, what's up?
Yes. All right. Yeah. As the mother of three teenagers that were all at the same age, pretty much.
Yeah.
And no dad in the house. It was not easy. I know I cried a lot. I prayed a lot. I didn't know how in the world to help. But I realize now that I needed to let you guys pay the consequences of your rebellion.
Yeah.
And the one thing I did, and it was if I knew you guys did something bad, I would make sure that I took you to the person or the place where you had done something bad to apologize. And I didn't do it for you. I had you do it.
Yeah.
And I'm talking you, I mean your brother and your sister.
Right, right.
And not just you. And then also what I realized is that there's times you just have to call the police and say, my child is not obeying me, not paying attention, didn't come home last night. What can you do to help?
Yeah.
And there are times that they'll either, you know, help you by offering some mentorship, or they'll take them to juvenile detention or whatever. But if you can get their attention when they're young, even if they're bigger than you, then you're a whole lot better off, because then you have a future of them hopefully being much more responsible and more respectful.
Hmm.
And my advice to that poor mother is just remember this too shall pass. And they'll grow up to be adults and realize the mistakes they made and how much heartache they caused mom. And then they'll show mom how much they love her.
Yes, they will.
And I know you love me.
I do. I do.
I know, honey. And God bless her heart, because it's not easy. And I hope she has someone that she can use as a sounding board.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because you need that. You really need that. Mm-hmm.
All right, Mama.
That's my advice for the day.
Well, it's great advice. Thank you.
Okay, honey.
Thanks for being a part of the show.
Thank you for calling. I love you. And
I love you too.
Have a great day.
All right.
Bye, miss.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Your mom. Yeah.
I'm good.
You sure?
You know, yeah, I'm good. It's heartbreaking to think about the things that I put my mother through, because she's right. There were times where she did have to call the police, because myself, my brother, my sister, we were quite rebellious and to some crazy extremes at times. But she's right. She gave it over to the Lord. She understood that this was a really crappy season, and she trusted and believed in God's word and never stopped praying. Mm-hmm. For any of us. And I'm so thankful for that, because
God is faithful.
God is faithful, man.
So good.
He is so good. He is so faithful. And looking back, I think of the fact that he promises to finish that work he started in me. And maybe it was when I was young, and I walked away from that, but God's word says he is faithful to complete that work he began in you.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm thankful he continues to do so with me. That's for sure.
Yep. Me too.
All right, that's it for us. Thanks to everybody who chimed in this morning.
It's a fast hour.
You can listen to the show again this Sunday night, 7 p.m. We re-air it during Static U. You can also get your questions in throughout the week, and we will be back next Wednesday for another hour of Shock Therapy Live. Thanks for hanging out with me this
hour. Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, until tomorrow.
See you tomorrow morning.
Steve-O and Mitch.
In the morning.
Static Radio.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.